Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. I'm a mother. I guess maybe by me having a daughter, I couldn't imagine her being missing. I'd still be walking the earth right now, yes, trying to find my daughter. And nothing would stop me from doing that. I know that the family says at every vigil, we want them to come home. Please come home. To me, that's not realistic. It's been 22 years now. I don't think they're coming home. It would be a miracle if they did, and it would be wonderful. I think that something very bad happened to them. I think we have a pretty good idea of what happened, and that's the path that we're taking. We're not leaving any stones unturned. None. I am Pam Childs, and this is Disappeared, the Bradley Sisters. From the very beginning, we've been working with Investigator Foster. Foster is a private investigator who took this case on pro bono. He's been a good resource because as a PI, he doesn't represent the Chicago Police Department, and he's much closer to the family. Foster, I know that you've been a part of this. I know that we've gone over hundreds of times various things that have been reported that also put ourselves as well as members of the Chicago Police Department in limbo, in a position where we have not been able to identify why these two girls, age 3 and 10, disappeared at some point on July 6, 2001. And can you give me a little bit of background on maybe some of the trials and tribulations that you've been through being with this family for 22 years and you're still with them?
Yes, it's been quite a challenge. I've talked to each and every one of them. I've interviewed everybody over the times, over the years. And it continues to be a tangled web. It's a tangled web of where certain people were at the time, is a tangled web of what's been said throughout the Bradley family. And it's been every single day since 2001. It's exhausting. It's probably something I never want to wish up on any investigator.
I want to start with Tracy Bradley. I have met mothers whose children are missing, still missing. These are women over the years that still call me to this day, crying, just wanting some answers.
Tracy has been ridiculed over the years, even in the very beginning, why she chose not, in people's eyes, to put effort in finding her children. You know, it's been time I sit across from Tracy and I interviewed and I talk with her, and I'm asking myself, why is there no emotion?
Back in 2001, when Tracy was initially interviewed, Tracy felt as if she was being mistreated by the police. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's a wrong perspective to take, even though it's understandable coming from a person who, you know, these are her children, you know, but we have heard from various family members that they were left alone a lot. I mean, a lot of days over the years, to the point where family members were saying, we're going to call DCFS on her if she don't stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that fear that Tracy may have with the Department of Children and Family Services.
Okay.
And that is that some years prior, before her kids went missing, the kids suffered a loss by the Department of Children and Family Services.
What kids?
These are Tracy's sister's kids.
Okay.
They end up suffering a loss to the Department of Family Service, where one of her sister's kids had been taken by that department, and it caused a rift within the Bradley family. And further down that line, that sister ended up committing suicide.
Because she lost her children.
To the department. So that is one of the reasons why the threat, the fear permeates throughout the Bradley family when it comes to such law enforcement agencies such as the Department of Children and Family Services coming in and taking children, her children away. It costs dearly from an investigative standpoint. It costs dearly from the communication with other law enforcement agencies who stepped in and try to help find their children.
I'm back with my old partner, Joe Strzok, discussing the case. One of the most difficult parts of this investigation for both myself and Joe is parsing out fact from fiction. You interview sometimes hundreds of people in a case as long-running as this one, and no matter what, accounts will be different just based on how different people experience different events. In Tracy Bradley's case, from the moment her babies were taken, she has been under a microscope, and we must take the time to get to the bottom of the truth. What I've thought is that this is personal. This is not a stranger danger. This is someone they knew.
Yeah, you're gonna look at family first, but you can't never rule out stranger dangers. You know, some stranger either kicking the door in and taking them or picking them up off the street, throwing them in a van. But you usually end up coming up with some type of witness to that. That would lean you more towards a family member that had the time to dispose of this, you know? I mean, unless you have a professional pedophile that kidnaps children that has, you know, holes dug already in places and, you know, but that's few and far between. Can you rule it out? Absolutely not, you know, nor should you as a detective, but you have to go with, you know, what you have the evidence to support and what you think is the most possible scenario.
Mom is the key holder here to cooperating with the police so that, you know, some progress can be made or some more information could be given so that the police would have a direction to go in.
She shut down, and I don't think she was 100% truthful. And so with everybody either being uncooperative, not talking at all, when all we're trying to do is find their two children, you know, you think that would be the number one priority.
Tracy Bradley, to me, is still on the same page. And maybe she's confused, you know? I'm not trying to make excuses for her. You know, I'd love to sit down with her at least one more time, just understand where she's coming from. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
I'm pleased that you're here. You came to talk to us.
Yes.
And be a part of this thing that we're creating. And our goal is to find your daughters and find out what happened to Tianda and Diamond. I can't thank you enough for coming and being brave to sit and talk with us and answer the tough questions that we're gonna ask. It's gonna bring back some memories and just let it flow.
Yes.
I worked your missing persons case when it first began on July 6, 2001. I spoke to you back then. I don't know if you remember that or not. I did meet you. I did talk to you. And I think you know retired detective.
Yes.
Ed Carroll.
Hi, Tracy.
Yes. Hi.
And, you know, through all the graces, here we are. So I want to get into asking you a little bit about back in 2001. I know the 4th of July had just passed.
Yes.
And you guys had a family outing, is that correct?
Yes.
On the 4th of July?
Yes.
Where was that?
In Washington Park.
Okay. And can you tell me a little bit about what happened out there?
It was me and my friend Diamond and Tiandi with me. And we had fun, you know?
Okay. Like a family barbecue?
Yes, something like that.
Okay. All right. And so then, and moving on to the 5th of July.
Yes.
You were home with all your daughters, correct?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that day.
July the 5th, George Washington asked her, do we want to go camping?
And, he asked you on the 5th of July if you wanted to go camping? Okay.
And where was this camping trip supposed to be?
He never mentioned what.
Did he ever show you a reservation or tell you he had a reservation anywhere?
No.
Okay. Were you skeptical about going on the camping trip that he just decided that, let's do this?
Not really.
Were you excited to do it?
Not really.
You weren't excited to do it?
No.
Okay, so
I just did it because it was his say so that he wanted to go
to camping. Okay, so what kind of relationship did you have with him?
Think back then.
It was all right. It was fine. I mean, we would go out for a little bit, you know, because, like I said, me and my family, we would just sit on Dusable and everything, and he would just come up, and you know what I'm saying? And at nighttime, he'd come and get me, and we'd just go to their house.
Okay. And so George would come around mostly, like, in the evenings.
At night.
Did he spend time with your daughters? Or was it mostly time with you?
With me.
Okay.
With me.
And where would they be?
They would be with, like, one of my family members.
Okay.
Yes.
All four girls or two, just Tiandi and Diamond?
All of them.
Okay. And there were times when he would come by late at night.
Yeah, right.
And they would be in bed. Is that accurate?
Yes.
The evening of the 5th. Think back to when you came back from Mom's house, back at your apartment. Think back to that, because we're just trying to establish some sort of timeline. So think back to then, what you did, if you can recall. I know it was a long time ago.
Yes.
It was a long time ago.
But it's an unforgettable night.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And let's keep that in perspective. At the end of that night until the next day is when all hell broke loose in your life.
Yes.
So the evening of the 5th is important.
Yes.
Shalia Bradley Smith is one of Tracy's aunts who came to Chicago shortly after Tiandi and Diamond had gone missing. Thank you for welcoming me into your home with my partner. I want to ask you a couple questions as far as the background on your family. On July 6th of 2001, you were living where?
In Minnesota.
Okay. Tell me about how you got the information that something happened in your family.
I was actually doing a extended 4th of July celebration with a friend, a dear friend, her kids, ex-boyfriend, and, you know, doing just barbecuing and drinking a little bit.
And that was here in Minnesota?
Yes.
Okay.
I got a phone call from a family friend named Dennis. She said, hey, turn to Channel 9, Tracy kids are missing. And I'm sitting there with a plate of barbecue and, you know, just puzzled, like, what? He says, Tracy kids are missing. So I turned to Channel 9 and he said, you see it? I say, no, because I turned to Minnesota Channel 9. And he says, I had to turn to WGN Channel 9. And when I turned on the station, there was Diamond and Tiana's picture on the news.
And what did you do after that?
I remember dropping the plate, getting up, and for a second, I didn't know what to do. But then the guy who I was dating at the time, he just said, let's go.
Okay.
But in my mind, I'm thinking, they're going to find him.
All right. So let me ask you this. Do you find it a little bit odd that all four girls were not going to go camping?
I find it odd that all of them was going camping.
Okay. And I get that from you. I do. I get that from you because Tracy was not a camper.
Right. And Tracy, I've never had a man that was willing to take her camping.
What are you vibing off of this camping trip?
Well,
the whole plan or the whole talk about it. How about that?
I found it to be like, what type of dude is he? Or do he go camping? I mean, that was my first instinct, you know, my first impression. But after knowing him and finding out his lifestyle, his family has always gone camping.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be so far-fetched. But I was surprised that he cared enough to take Tracy and her kids.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Janice from Warner Brothers Discovery. Spring is officially in bloom here in the Northern Hemisphere, and with a fresh season underway, you might be seeking your own transformation. For some, that means a new approach to weight loss or nutrition. Noom has a unique approach. Noom is tailored to each person's psychology and biology. It's built to meet you where you are because Noom understands that no two people are the same. Noom stands out to me because it offers a holistic approach to well-being. From coaching to recipes, Noom's app provides personalized information to help you on your journey. I also think it's great that Noom doesn't restrict what you can eat, and it doesn't shame you for treating yourself. And treat yourself you should. What's more, Noom believes in nourishing rather than restricting. Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods, because this approach is about eating well and treating your body right. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your free trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Tracy has given a few different versions of the night of July 5th, something that Ed and I have pored over in our investigation.
The phone records support George Washington coming to Tracy's house somewhere around 4:33 in the morning. And I believe Washington in his interview said he had left another female that he was seeing, a woman by the name of Chanda Stewart. He had left her home sometime around 2:30 or 3 in the morning. And that in her interview, in one of her interviews, Chanda Stewart does tell the police that he did leave around 2:30 or 3. We tried to establish some sort of timeline of what time did all of this actually occur. So the only thing we had to go on was the phone records all these years. I did end up doing at least one interview with one of the people that was in the apartment with her till approximately 9:30 or 10 o'clock that night. And when I re-interviewed him years later, he sticks to his story. Yep, we were there. We were drinking beer. We used to stop there. Me and Stephen, I think his name was Stephen, used to stop there. And we'd have a couple of drinks on our way home. They both lived further south than Tracy did. So at that point, I felt good about establishing, okay, we know that, and he did say at that point that the kids were in the apartment at 9:30 that night or 10 o'clock that night when they left. So now we know they're still there at 10 o'clock in the evening. Tracy received several phone calls after that to the apartment that are answered by somebody in the apartment. If she goes out, I don't know if Tianda answered the phone. I'm sure Diamond didn't, but somebody answers the phone and talks to people for a good little while. It's, you know, a couple minutes here and there. But at 2:18 in the morning, there's a phone call to Tracy Bradley's home, and somebody is on the phone. At 2:18 in the morning, they're on the phone for a minute, 46 seconds. At 2:26 a.m. on this morning of the 6th of July, Tracy home phone calls George Senior's home phone. So is that the girls calling and talking to George? Or is that Tracy calling and talking to George? We never were able to establish that. Mm-hmm. Senior, I never interviewed George Senior, but his contention at the time, in the one interview I do remember reading, is that he was too drunk to remember, but supposedly right. He came over to the apartment.
Tracy had given me two different versions of her whereabouts the night before Tianda and Diamond disappeared. Her most consistent story is that on the morning of July 6th, Tracy spoke with Tianda before she left for work. It would be the last time she would ever see her baby girls.
George Washington picked me up and I told Tianda, I'm going to work. Don't open the door for nobody. He took me to work. He dropped me off. From that point, I don't know where he went after that because I was at work doing my duty. I couldn't use the phone. Only time I used the phone is like, I had like a little lunch break. So I called and I called and I called. That's why I was working at Park District. And I called, it wasn't no answer. It just kept going to voicemail, voicemail, voicemail.
So you get to work at like about 7 in the morning?
Yes. Yeah, because I have to open up, yes.
Okay. And you started checking in on the girls?
Yes.
By calling?
Yes, yes. No answer.
No answer.
No answer.
How do you feel about that, your calls to the house giving you no answer? What was going on in your head why wouldn't Tianda pick up this phone?
I was feeling, why she didn't pick up the phone, you know
okay.
what I'm saying? I was feeling like, something is wrong. Something is wrong.
Why did you not call 911 right away?
Scared.
Tell me what you're afraid of.
I was scared. I wanted to find them, you know, like on my own to see if I can find them and see who house they went to, you know, and just look around. So, and I was scared.
Because? You didn't want what to happen.
I go to jail.
Did anybody in your family suggest to you not to call the police?
No.
That was just your decision, that you wanted to solve this thing, work this out, and get your babies.
Yes.
Okay. 7 hours go by. Now you've contacted everybody in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's looking. You can't find these babies.
Yeah.
Who called 911?
I remember calling my mom. I said, call the police.
Shalia, tell me about what your understanding, how Tracy lived with leaving the children unattended, I have learned that this was something that happened often.
Yes, according to many family members, including her mother, because even though I didn't live in Chicago, I talked to my family members all the time, you know, talking about some, even if we were just gossiping about somebody. Mm-hmm. And prior to when the kids got missing, Tracy's mom had expressed to me, you know, that I'm so sick of her leaving these damn kids.
Who is Tracy's mom?
Mary.
Mary.
Yeah, she's deceased.
Also known
recently,
as Tiny.
Yeah, Tiny, yeah.
Okay. From what I understand, it took Tracy hours to contact the police. Once she walked in her apartment from work,
yeah,
the girls were gone. The Chicago Police Department wasn't notified until about 6 p.m. that evening.
Yeah, at the advice of my sister, do not call the police. Let's just look for the kids, because if you call the police, they're going to take Vicky and Rita. So I looked at Tracy, and Tracy says, why the fuck is everybody looking at me like I did something to my kids? And at that point, I think I was so angry. Like, you supposed to know where your kids are. You supposed to know what the hell happened. So I jumped up to grab her, because I was going to just push her off.
It's okay. Take your time.
I just wanted to push her out the window.
Okay.
Because I felt if you would have left them, they wouldn't be gone.
My sister Felicia was the one who actually called the police. It was not Tracy.
How did that go over with the sisters, with Felicia calling 911?
Well, you know, Felicia's one of them type, I'm just going to do it. I mean, Fee's exact words to me were, girl, fuck this shit, I call the police.
Shortly after the police are called, an alleged voicemail is revealed that had been left on Tracy's phone by her daughter, Tiana. Unfortunately, this voicemail no longer exists, lost in the investigation, deleted by someone. So all we have are accounts from those who heard it.
You know, it was chaotic. It was people coming in and out the apartment. And then when it wasn't outsiders, you know, not cousins them, as they call it, wasn't nobody there. Faith had accessed the voicemail on Tracy's phone, and it said, Mama, pick up the phone. This Tiana, Ma. George is at the door. He said, we are going to Jules to get the cake, and we're coming to pick you up from work. Ma, pick up the phone. It was maybe eight of us in the house, eight or nine, when we heard it.
Despite maintaining his innocence, and despite no charges being brought against him or the police publicly naming him as a suspect, this alleged voicemail is one of the main reasons George Washington has been considered a possible suspect by some people involved in the case.
Tracy, and at some point, did George took a paternity test?
Yes.
And the test results came back 3 weeks after Diamond went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't happy when he found out that Diamond was his, was he?
No.
What did he say to you?
He was upset. He was just upset, you know. He was upset.
Okay, so upset would be putting it mildly. Very mildly.
Yes, yes.
The relationship between George Washington and Tracy Bradley was at times very contentious. Tracy alleges threats of violence and fear of retaliation should she act in a manner that George disagreed with. Before Tiana and Diamond went missing, the question of George being Diamond's father caused a lot of tension and led to a series of confrontations. Would you believe that George would hurt Diamond just to not pay child support?
Yes.
You think that he would kill Diamond?
Yeah.
To avoid child support?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a possibility that that happened?
Probably so. Sometimes you don't know which way the anger this man is coming from.
George Washington has denied being the father of Diamond Bradley and has denied any involvement with the girl's disappearance.
You build this timeline from an investigative standpoint that George takes Tracy to work at 6:30 in the morning. He drops her off, which is approximately 3 miles away from her apartment. What is George Washington doing between the hours of 6:30 to, I will probably roughly say, 11:30?
Okay, so one thing that I want to touch on with that time frame is that there was plenty of time for George to do whatever he wanted to do. Now, during that time span, supposedly sometime around 8-ish, Tianda leaves a message on Tracy's cell phone stating someone named George is at the door. He said something about getting a cake. But Tracy never gets that phone call, supposedly because her cell phone is dead.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. But this is within a time span between dropping her off and picking her up. So he has plenty of time to do whatever.
Yes.
So would it be, you know, from the standpoint of me being a detective and you being an investigator, would it be safe to say that, you know, he could have grabbed the girls?
Yeah, he could have made that turnaround now that he's got Tracy at work and he knows that the girls are there by himself. Could he did a beeline back to their apartment, got those girls, stored those girls in an unknown place until he had the chance to, quote unquote, deal with them, as one would say, and hook up with his girlfriend, Chandra, not knowing that he, prior before picking her up, that he's in possession of two children. That's possible.
That is possible.
You know, when my nieces were missing, I was 39 going on 40. 2001 felt like a death sentence. 2002 felt like an execution. 2003 felt like I was up on a chopping block. It has been the worst 23 years of my life. Not only have I been homeless to find my nieces, I've been ridiculed. I've helped others, numerous others. I went through a bout of depression, anxiety. I used to dream that for the first 6 years, I couldn't sleep. And I thank God for my doctor. You know, I would go into her office and she would literally knock me out because I would stay up 3 and 4 days in a row. Because every time I went to sleep, I would dream that they were viciously raped and murdered. And when I dreamed of Diamond and she told me where they were murdered at, and I looked over in a dream and I saw the upper part of Tianda's arm sticking up out of his shallow grave, and the wall came back. Diamond, she tried to... Wow, this is weird. I was sitting in a chair just like this, and she was running through the house. My mom was sitting over there on a sofa, but you couldn't see nobody's face because everybody's face was blurred except my mom's and Diamond's. All the other kids' faces were blurred. And when I grabbed it, you know, and I didn't know that Diamond used to pick her little fingers like this. Because when I told her dream of Tiny, it made Tiny cry. I said, well, Diamond, you know I'm always love you. She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to put you down. Could I have a kiss? And she put her hands right here and kissed me in the mouth. And I woke up and I felt her kiss. Wow. That's when I knew in my heart that they were gone. I've had a stroke, been evicted a few times because I couldn't pay the rent because I was taking my money to go down there and, you know, to do things. I don't think that I would put Satan through this type of hell. I don't even think he's familiar with this. And he's the evil of evil. It's been terrible. It's been terrible. And to know that my sister passed, but I promised her years ago that I would find her grandkids. I know she's proud of me.
Oh, absolutely.
I know she is. And I can honestly say, I did it, sis. I kept my promise.
Yes, you did.
What I know and what I can prove are two different things. There's several factors that involve George that I would love to have answers to. Number one is why he didn't participate in the search for the girls. Number two, why less than 15 minutes after finding out the girls have gone missing, was he calling other females attempting to set up dates?
On the next episode of Disappeared, the Bradley sisters. Back in February of 2012, a message was sent via Facebook to April Jackson, the sister of Tracy Bradley. Hello, I really need to speak with someone in reference to George Washington and the disappearance of those babies. I am so sorry we had to meet like this. Disappeared, the Bradley Sisters is produced by Entertainment One, Gary Sherman Films, and Mainstay Entertainment for Discovery ID. You can follow our show wherever you get your podcast, and we'd love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.